Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for making us a chosen generation, for making us a royal priesthood, for making us an holy nation, for making us peculiar people, that we should show forth your praises as you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I pray, Daddy, shine your light afresh in our hearts today. Let our light shine brighter and brighter unto the glorious day. Thank you, precious Lord. As we go on, Holy Spirit, teach us, enlighten us, give us understanding, and help us, Lord, to walk in your will. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray today, as we go on, let prayers be answered. Amen. Let your people be blessed. Amen. And at the end, Father, take all the glory, yes, all the praise, amen, all the honor, all the thanksgiving, all the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We've started the series on victorious Christian living. We've taken time to look at, to sit. The first thing to do as a Christian is to sit with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. The second thing to do as Christian is to walk. So we're going to begin looking for the next 2 or 3 weeks at walking. Hallelujah. Walking, walking, walking. And the last part of things that we'll look at will be standing. Hallelujah. All your life, all that you need to do is just within those 3 items as a Christian. You will be victorious in any way, no matter how it is diced. If you do those things, you will live a victorious Christian life. Hallelujah. 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 So let's look at the word of God, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I will be reading from verse 1. Ephesians 2, that's our text. Ephesians 2, I'm reading from verse 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you at he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in our hearts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we see in this book of Ephesians how that before we came to Christ, we were dead in sins and trespasses. We're under the control of the devil. You see, we had no choice. Whatever he puts in our heart, we do. Whatever the world is doing, we do. You understand? Whatever the society says goes, we do. Because largely the society is under the control of the devil. That happens before we come to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said, that's why he said, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world. That means according to their dictates, according to their line. How many of you have been to the race course? Okay, you see that they have, just like on the field track that the students use, they have lines for each us to raise him. You understand? So that curse that lies is called curse. So also we see in the world has its own pattern, its own behavior, its own culture, its own way of doing things. Before we come to Christ, we are subject to that. There's nothing we can do about it. We do not have the power to do otherwise. You understand? That's what the Bible is saying there. And it said, the curse of the world is what is according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince there means the ruler of the power of the air. When he says the power of the air, he's talking about the spiritual heavens. You understand? And the person who is in charge of the power of the air that covers the earth is the devil. The devil is called the ruler of this world. What that means is, he's the one that is dictating what is in the mind of people. He's the one that is dictating their choices, their policies, their way of life, the way they dress, the way they talk, you know, and all other behaviors. It is according to his control. Remember, the devil is one that introduced sin into the world. When God created Adam and Eve, they were innocent. They were pure. They had no sin. Until the devil came into the garden and made them to rebel against God's authority. Sin means rebellion against God's authority. When God says, do this, and you don't do it, that is simply sin. You understand it now? Haha. So, and those things have been codified in the Old Testament as what we call the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any other God beside me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not fornicate. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not, you know, covet what belongs to your neighbor, and on like that. 10 canonicals, which means every other thing can be under that 10. You understand? That's how God introduced those things into the world, to Israelites, as to, this is my will. If you do not do all these things, you will be okay with me. Hallelujah. There are other laws, which are religious laws, as to how to worship God and stuff like that, in sacrifices, in offerings, and stuff like that. But when Christ came, he took away all those offerings and sacrifices. He was the only person that has ever lived on earth that was able to fulfill all of God's commandments without committing any single sin. Hallelujah. And so he became our sacrifice. God used him as our sacrifice. And in a way, he paid bail for us to get us out of the prison of suffering of God. Hallelujah. And so, when we come to Christ Jesus, we inherit this blessing of life through him. Hallelujah. And so, our life is now transformed and translated and changed. And we are no longer under the control of the devil, but we are now under the control of the Holy Spirit. Do we understand it now? Hallelujah. And so, that is what the Bible is saying in this verse 2, where it says, in times past, before you come into Christ, you walk according to the things of the world and according to the authority of the devil, who is the prince of the power of the air, and according to the spirit that now walketh in children of disobedience. Children of disobedience means those people who have not come to Christ Jesus, those people who have not obeyed the gospel, those people who have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. They are still what? They are children of disobedience. They are disobedient to the gospel, and they are disobedient to the will of God. Hallelujah. And the same, this power of darkness is still operating in their lives. That is why you will see the unbelievers behave in a certain way. And you begin to ask yourself, are they not thinking? Of course, they cannot think. You understand? Like you see, as it is being done now in our country, in our nation, and God will break that power of what they call themselves, LGBTQ or whatever name they call themselves. Even animals don't do it. Hallelujah. Nature, look at the nature. You will not see a he-goat sleeping with a he-goat. You understand? Nature will not even do it. So you begin to ask yourself, are they thinking? Are they thinking? How can they think? Because they are under the control of darkness. They are under the control of the devil. You understand? And they are children of disobedience, because they are disobedient to God's will, to God's word, to God's commandment. But the reason is because they cannot control themselves. Hallelujah. They cannot. They don't know better. And that's why we must keep on preaching the gospel. Do you understand it now? It's when you come to Christ that you know better. Hallelujah. It's Christ that gives us understanding. He gives us light. And he gives us ability to do the will of God. So the Bible says, before now, this was your lifestyle. Okay? And that lifestyle, when you see walking, it means in the Bible, most of that means lifestyle or behavior. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation. Conversation there means lifestyle. Amen. It means lifestyle. In times past, and look at the description of what the lifestyle looks like. The lust of our flesh. The lust of our flesh means the uncontrolled wrong desires of the flesh. The lust of our flesh. Hallelujah. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know how many times you look through, they're doing shows on TV or social media, they say, follow your heart. You see, isn't that what they say? Just do what you feel like. They do not say, follow God's commandment. They do not say, you know, do what God says to you. They say, do what you feel like. Which means, if I feel like killing somebody, what should I do? Kill that person. Is that right?
No.
If I feel like stealing something, then I should steal it. Is that right? But they said, but the word said, do what you feel like. If I feel like sleeping with somebody else's wife or somebody's, you know, ex-husband, the word says, do what you feel like. Is that right? No. If I feel like hitting poison, like drugs, either smoking it or inhaling it or ingesting it, the word says, do what you feel like. Does that make it right? No. See, that is the word. And that is what the flesh wants to do. You understand? But it's contrary to the word of God. God said, before you come to Christ, that's how you were built. You have no control under that. But once you come to Christ, that power to do those evil is broken. Remember, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. That power is broken. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Which means, as you continue to do that, we are children of wrath. We are subject, if we die in our sin, we are subject to go to hell and experience the wrath of God. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Verse 4, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. That means he made us alive. And he quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And he has raised us up together, and he made us to sit together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Let's go to verse 10. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. So now when you have become a Christian, the Bible says you have become God's workmanship. What is a workmanship? A workmanship is a design. Hallelujah. A workmanship is like a craft. You understand? It's something created. Let's use the word like a carpenter. If a carpenter builds a chair or a table, that's his workmanship. You understand? That is the product of his handiwork. Do you understand it now? That's one definition of workmanship. The second definition of workmanship is somebody who is learning a trade from a master. You understand? Like you are learning a technical trade. Let's say I went to the builder associations or whatever, and I say, I want to learn how to build, how to become a builder of a house, of anything. I become, we call it workmanship. I'm working with them. I'm learning the trade. Okay? So the Bible says that God has created you and I as what? As his workmanship. And for what? created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay? Now, when you created something, there's always a purpose for which it is created, right? The chair is not being used as a table. The chair has its function. The table has its function. So as Christians, we are created as God's workmanship unto good works. So our purpose in life as Christians is to do what? Is to do good works. You understand it now? So the first thing that we will do in walking as Christians is to do what? Is to walk in good works. Let me read that verse again. It said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." He said, God has before ordained that we should walk in good works. Hallelujah. Which means God already has in mind what kind of good works he wants us to walk in. Amen. And in Christ Jesus, he equipped us through the power of the Spirit of the Lord. He created us unto good works. Now, if Christians, if you are not walking in good works, then you are not fulfilling your purpose for which God has created you. And like I keep on telling people, if you don't know the purpose for which a thing is created, an abuse is inevitable. You will misuse that thing. Hallelujah. 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 If you don't know your purpose, you abuse yourself. Somebody will abuse you. The society will abuse you. And anything can happen. Hallelujah. Just like people that are taking drugs, what is called drug abuse. Because there are some drugs, even some drugs that are like for headache or to take away pain and things like that, they're supposed to be used for a particular period, a particular time. And once you begin to go beyond that, it becomes an abuse. Abnormal use, like I define it, is meaning of abuse. Amen? So you must know your purpose. Your purpose as a Christian, as a child of God, is for what? Is for good works. Hallelujah. So we are to walk in good works. Hallelujah. Today, we are just doing the introduction. Okay? So I'm just letting you know the first thing that we are to walk in is what? Is called good works. Down the line, we're going to show us what are those good works. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Now, come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." The second walk that we must walk as Christians is to do a walk worthy of God's vocation wherein we are called. What is a vocation? Anybody? What's a vocation? Vocation, vocation.
It's like a calling.
A calling, okay? What's the meaning of a calling?
What you've been asked to do.
What you've been asked to do, okay? Mission, your mission. Hallelujah. So God, the Bible says, we must do what? We must walk worthy of the mission for which God has created us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. And it says, "That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Hallelujah. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, that we should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. You understand? The mission, the goal, wherewith we are called. That's why we should walk worthy of it. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, he's telling us what that vocation is. Hallelujah. You understand? And so he said, in 1 Thessalonians 2, 12, he said, "That ye will walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto what? Unto his kingdom and glory." So the second walk for a Christian is to do what? Is to walk worthy of God's kingdom and God's glory. Hallelujah. That's our vocation. That's our calling. You understand? The reason why God called us in Christ Jesus is so that we can inherit the kingdom of heaven, and we can inherit his glory. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you, the reason why Adam and Eve, when they found that they were naked, were ashamed, is because the reason they were naked and they will become ashamed is because when they disobeyed God, the glory of God left them. Hallelujah. Now we are called unto what? Unto God's kingdom and unto his glory. That's our vocation. And the Bible says we should do what? We should walk worthy of that. Now, who can tell me what it means to, when it says to walk worthy, what does that mean? To walk worthy of it, what does it mean? Walk boldly. Mm-hmm. What else does it mean? Walk worthy. If you say something is worthy, what are you saying?
Proud.
Not proud. It means fit. Yeah. It means it's fit. Fit, F-I-T. You know, fitting. Fitting, you know, adequate, you know. He said, you must make sure that you fit. The way you walk, the way you present your life must be fitting for the glory of God. You must not bring shame unto God. And that then can come to the word that Dimitri mentioned. You must make God proud in your walk. You must fulfill the purpose. Take, for instance, a student. We can say for a student, while the person is in school, the vocation is studying. Hallelujah. A student to walk worthy of that vocation must do what? Must go to class, you know, do assignments, do all kinds of things that needs to be done, and submit the assignment on time and sit for the exam and prepare himself or herself and pass the exam. That is walking worthy. When a student now does not do that, or is just doing it half-heartedly and begin to do some other things, going to parties, join the fraternity, all those things that has nothing to do with the education, then the student is not walking worthy of that calling. Do you understand it now? So as Christians, God said we should walk worthy of his kingdom and glory, because that's what he has called us unto, to walk worthy of his kingdom and of his glory. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Glory be to God. The third walk that God expects us wherein to walk, Galatians chapter 5. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. The third walking that God expects the believer to walk in is to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. What do I call it? Walk in the Spirit. So we have three kinds of walking. The first one, to walk in good works, right? Walk in good works. The second one, to walk worthy of God's calling, which is kingdom of God and God's glory. Hallelujah. And the third one is what? To walk in the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's look at verse 25 as well, of the same Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The moment you become born again, the Spirit of God comes in you in a measure. For the Bible says in John chapter 3, from verse 3, and verse 5, it says, unless a man is born of the Spirit and of water, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You understand? So when you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior, the Spirit of God comes into your heart and you become born again. You understand it now? That is why he said in verse 25 of Galatians 5 that if you live in the Spirit, because you are alive now in the Spirit, when you become born again. If you live in the Spirit, then, what did he say? Then walk in the Spirit. Do you understand it now? If you live in the Spirit, if you are alive now to God in the Spirit, because you are now born again and the Spirit of God is in you, he said, then do what? Walk in the Spirit. And as we go on in the next couple of weeks, we will also talk about what does that mean? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Simply, it means to listen to every dictates of the Spirit of God inside of you. You understand it now? When the Holy Spirit says, get up to pray, you get up to pray. And the Holy Spirit says, turn right, you turn right. And from experience, I'm sure many of you have found out, when you did not listen, you met with hold up. Right? I can tell you that from experience. When the Spirit says, turn this way, I refuse to turn, you meet with hold up. When you turn where he says to turn, you see that the road is free. Hallelujah. So that is what we will learn. We'll learn over time. How do we do that? By God's grace, God is going to lead us into that. Amen. So these are the three kinds of walk that God expects the believers to do. And this is a lifestyle. When he says walk, it means let this be your lifestyle. Hallelujah. The first one is what? Walk in good works. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. And we're going to look at that in the following weeks as what are those good works? Do you understand? And those good works are in two categories. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is the physical good works. Amen. And then there is the spiritual good works. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Physical good works, you know, we're going to go into details next week, but it's like doing good to your neighbor, doing good to everybody. See somebody that is naked, you clothe them. You know, somebody who is hungry, you give them food. Somebody who needs help, you help them. A blind person who wants to cross the road, you help the person. You know, understand? Things like that. Show genuine kindness to one another. You understand? That's the first set of good works. It's just the physical, natural, you know, good works. And then you have the spiritual good works. Acts 10:38. The Bible says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's a spiritual good work in which the sick, you heal the sick. Those who need deliverance, you deliver them. You understand? So we're going to go into details on that one. But this is our purpose as Christians, why we are here. And that is what the Bible means when it says, let your light shine before men, that they may do what? What did he say may they do? That they may see your good works. He didn't say that they may see your anointing. Is that what he said? Isn't it that they may see, you know, your cars? Is that what he said?
No.
They may see how much I bless you, that you are now flying a jet, you have a private jet. Is that what he said?
No.
He didn't say that they may see your good music, that in your church you have good music. You have the best good music. Did he say that they may see your cathedral, how big your own church building is? Is that what he said? What did he say? They may see your good works. And when they see your good works, what will happen? They will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand that now? So we're walking in good works. We're walking fit, worthy of God's calling. And what is that calling? The kingdom of heaven and his glory. To inherit the kingdom of heaven and to inherit his glory. You understand? And the third one, we are working what? In the Spirit. When you do that, you will be victorious.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that is what he created us for. Amen? So let's go back so that we can, so I can close for the introductory today. I can close at Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, all the thanksgiving, all the adoration. Be exalted, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So all this walking, Ephesians chapter 4, God expects you and I to do it in which manner? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So all this walking, whether it is the good works, the natural, the spiritual, or it is making myself fit for the glory of God and for his kingdom, or it is to walk in the spirit. You understand? God said, I must do all of that how? In lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Which means I should not brag about it. You know, I should consider other people better than myself. I should work for the unity of the church, of the body of Christ. I should not just say, oh, I belong to Hope in Heaven. I don't know what those ones are doing there. Those ones are Strong Tower. And those ones are Green Sanctuary. And that is them. No. Or say, we are redeemed. And those ones are Catholic. No. Every believer, you are supposed to work for, with humility, and work for unity of the Spirit. Do you understand it now?
Amen.
There should not be division. If they are believers in Christ Jesus, they are supposed to do what? Cooperate together.
Amen.
You understand it now?
Amen.
That is the way to do it. So that we should walk worthy of the vocation for which God has called us. And we should do it how? In lowliness. In meekness. We're not supposed to show off. You know, show off to others. You know, I have arrived. I prayed. You know, I fasted. You didn't get because you don't know how to fast. I told you to come to prayer meeting. You didn't come. That's why God has not answered your prayers. You know, maybe you are not saying that way, but the attitude. You understand what I'm saying? I don't expect anybody to say it that way, but the attitude, like, you know. But God can see your heart. You see, God can see my heart. You understand? And God say, look, whatever you want to do as you are walking as a Christian, do this thing in what? Lowliness, meekness, humility, and what? Long suffering. When people attack you, exercise what? Suffer long. Long suffering. Don't just yell out. Don't just say, no, you can't do that to me. They did worse to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that they spat on his face? They buffeted him. And then they asked him, tell us, who struck him? You think he didn't know the person that slapped him? Huh? You think he didn't know? He who created everybody? And they put a crown of thorns on his head. And he still didn't say anything. And they nailed him to the cross. Nails on his hands, on his feet. And as if that was not enough, they started pouring insult on him. If you are the Son of God, come down now, and we will believe you. See, they mocked him. Cruel mockery. And as if that was not enough, even after he gave up the ghost, somebody grabbed the spear. And the blood and the water gushed out. That's what they call kill dead. They wanted to be sure he's completely dead. Even after he has given up the ghost. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stand up, let us pray. That is the attitude. Stand up, let us pray. That is the attitude that Christ expects you and I to have as we walk as Christians. That is what gives you the victory. Hallelujah. I want you to pray to God. I need grace. I need grace. I need grace to walk. To walk in good works. Give me grace, O Lord. I need grace. Give me grace to walk in good works. Give me grace. Give me grace. Give me grace to walk worthy of the calling. To walk worthy of your kingdom and of your glory. Lord, give me grace. Give me grace to walk in the Spirit. Give me grace to walk. Walk in lowliness, in meekness, in long suffering, in forbearance of one another, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Karibose, give me grace, O Lord. I want to pray and say, Lord, help me. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace. Give me grace, Lord, to live for you. Give me grace to walk, O God. To walk, O God, worthy of your calling. To walk worthy of your kingdom. To walk worthy of your glory. Give me grace, Jehovah Almighty. Give me grace. Give me grace, O Lord, to walk in lowliness of mind, in meekness, in humility, in forbearance, O God. To walk, O God, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Father, give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace to walk in good works. To walk in good works, both the natural and the spiritual good works. Give me grace, Jehovah Almighty. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace, Jehovah. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace, I pray. Lord, give me grace. Give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace to walk worthy of the kingdom, to walk worthy of your kingdom, to walk worthy of this vocation unto which you have called me, to walk worthy of your glory. Lord, give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace, O Lord, that I will not bring shame to your name, that I will not bring shame to your name. Give me grace, Jehovah Almighty. Give me grace, Lord, I pray. Give me grace, Lord, I pray. Give me grace. Give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace, Jehovah. Give me grace, Ancient of Days. Give me grace, Eternal Rock of Ages. Give me grace, O God. Give me grace. Give me grace, my Lord and my God. Give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace to walk worthy of you. Give me grace, O Lord. Give me grace, O Lord, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Give me grace, Jehovah Almighty. Give me grace, Lord, I pray. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace, Jehovah. Give me grace, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Eternal King of glory, we bless your name. O Lord, of ourselves we can do nothing. We trust in you, Lord, to do your work in us. O God, we beseech thee for grace. Grace to obey. Grace to abide. Grace to follow you. Grace to walk according to your will. Grace to walk in the Spirit. Grace to walk worthy of your calling, worthy of the vocation unto which you have called us, which is your kingdom and your glory. We ask for grace to walk in good works. For you said we should let our lights shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify thee, our Father in heaven. This grace we receive today for everyone individually and collectively. We pray that you release upon us this hour, your grace, in the name of Jesus. Oh, blessed Father, we say thank you. We give you glory, we give you praise. Sweet Holy Spirit, thank you for enlightening us. Continue to, oh Lord, expand this truth in our hearts and give us the grace to obey, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. Glory and honor and power and majesty unto you, my Father, for in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord. It's testimony time. Anybody have a testimony?